I joined the Boys Brigade. Then I started going on holidays when I was, what, 10, 12, 14, 16. I was with the Boys Brigade about 7 years altogether. From a life boy, then you progress from a life boy to the Boys Brigade. And then you go through the Boys Brigade and then eventually you leave. I was about 8 or 9 when I was in the life boys. You used to have the sailor's hat on. Then I progressed to the Boys Brigade, junior, and then you gradually learned to do things and become a senior. Another thing, we used to have our meetings on a Tuesday and a Thursday, and the Thursday evening after we had our evening, the captain used to say, right, we'd play snooker or billiards now, and you've got these half-size snooker tables, with billiards, and he taught us how to play snooker or how to play billiards. His name was Captain Penny, a Scotchman, and he lived in Homestead Lane, right opposite the playing fields, because he used to go and play bowls a lot, and we used to go over there and support him. Boys Brigade used to be in a wooden church in Woodhall Lane, right on the corner, next to the Catholic Church, in the little pine area, and the community centre.
So what year do you think you would have become a life boy?
1942.
So why did you join the Boys Brigade?
Excitement, I suppose you'd call it, really.
Were your brothers in it?
No, that's the funny thing about that. No, my eldest brother, he was in the ATC, the Air Cadet, and that used to be at the drill hall.
Lemsford
Lane? That's it. On the wall we had big pictures of German aircraft and English aircraft on a big cardboard board. I was not a church person, but I had to go because it was part of our curriculum or whatever. Like that. And so I used to go to church, oh yeah.
So tell me what you wore as a life boy.
It had to be navy blue. I don't know if it was shorts or long ones. I think it was probably in short. And then sort of a blue jacket, a lanyard on here, and a forage cap. Because our captain, he was very, very strict. He made sure we all looked smart. I don't know if it was because of the war or what, I don't know, but Tuesday always used to be what we call drill parade, like marching and lining up and saying our numbers 1, 2, 3. And then that was on the Tuesday evening when we had to wear a uniform. The Thursday evening was more of a social evening, a games evening. We used to play a lot of games, and say the juniors used to go home. They used to walk home by themselves. It don't matter which direction they go, there's 2 or 3 go together. And then the seniors stayed on, say we played snooker, darts, billiards. Always finished at 9 o'clock. I think we used to have a Sunday service once a month to go in the church next door. And that was always like a drill parade.
And that would involve marching.
Oh yeah. We used to form up round the corner and just march into it. All sit in the set seats in the church and things like that.
How many people be there regularly?
Well, about 20, I should imagine. 20, something like 25. Right, with it, and I ended up as a lieutenant in the Boys Brigade. And then but say that the life boys, you wore this sort of a sailor hat. It was life boy on the front of it. Then you gave that in, or gave it to another person. Yeah. Then you took the forage cap on. You used to have badges, metal badges. Yeah. Now they're all sew-on badges. And you used to get metal badges for everything. PT, swimming, running, and gymnastics, all those sort of things. You had, for if you was a musician, you had to have a drum or a bugle or first aid with a cross.
Yeah.
I must have had, what, half a dozen badges.
When did you do the badge work?
Well, that used to come in on a Tuesday, mostly after the drill probe used to have it. And then one of the officers, because you had a captain and normally 2 or 3 lieutenants. I was the first Boys
Brigade. Were there other Boys Brigades?
Yeah, there was a second. His name was Wagstaff.
Right.
And his church and Boys Brigade was opposite Sainsbury's, as it is now.
Yeah.
Free church. I think he was with us for a short while, then he formed his own because he lived over the other side of the town. Being a senior, you become a senior at about 14. And then the captain used to say to us, who's coming on holiday to Bognor, Clacton, Great Yarmouth? And he'd say, right, you half a dozen seniors then, I'll pick you up in the lorry. We used to put all the suitcases in and tin trunk and kit bags all in this lorry on a Friday evening. Then we used to go up to London. This was in the afternoon, like say Friday afternoon. We used to go to London somewhere, Tottenham somewhere, or North London, pick up all these tents. We had to walk everywhere. We went nowhere on a bus, nowhere on a coach. We always worked out that if we stayed at a holiday resort, or not holiday, a camping site, We always had to walk. We had to take our wellies with us. Most of the time we spent in the marquee. See, the marquee was also our food hall. So we used to go in there and play cards, read comics, if it was wet. And the captain would think of some idea of keeping us entertained. Might be telling a silly story or something, or come out in front and tell a story, a bit of your life. What was you doing last week in the field? What were you doing last week? And here, there and everywhere.
Yeah.
And so we still got by. I think probably we used to go out on one occasion, one day out in the coach, like to Cheddar Gorge, where we stand at Somerset.
Yes.
And places like that. And another time, it was just going playing in the field, playing football, cricket, amusing yourself, and playing cards or whatever you wanted to do. But when we were on parade, we had to wear a tie. Oh yes, on parade. Yeah, that's why it's called the Scruffs. Nearly all of them.
Yeah.
Because that was our annual holiday.
Yes.
We never had holidays during the war.
Where did the lorry come from that took
you
there?
Well, that we never found out. The captain used to sort that out, and he used to sort the food out. And he must have had a lot of contacts. And he used to have friends in different parts of the area. And he always used to go into shredded wheat and buy boxes of shredded wheat. But they weren't in... But they were plain boxes. No decoration, no advertising. Mm. They were always plain white boxes with 10, 12 shredded wheat in them, or what else they used to manufacture there. And we used to put all these boxes into the lorry. We had to go and pick them up ourselves.
Yes.
We had a proper lorry driver. He must have hired the lorry from somewhere, probably local, and he must have hired him to take all that stuff from London down to a holiday resort, leave us, and then go back with the lorry. So probably it might have been a Welling Iron Foundry lorry. I can't remember now. These people have such lots of contacts, especially during the wartime, like Elastoplast. And things like that we could get, and food. We still had to buy certain things down at the local shops. We used to go and buy milk, for example, or butter and things like that. But most of the food we took down there, because it was rationed, and you had to give your coupons up, you see, until it finished. And he must have got special concessions from various people, take a group of boys on holiday, and get certain food and things like that, you see.
Was petrol still rationed?
Well, petrol was still rationed. There again, he must have arranged it with somebody. Maybe that's why the lorry just took us down there, left us, and come back again. But the other lads used to go in the coach or mostly on the trains. When we was the advance party, and then the others used to come down on the train, they didn't have nothing to carry. Because we'd already got their suitcases and tin trunk, you see, and kit bags.
Yes.
So they went down with another officer. The captain used to go with the advance party of about six of us. Then the lieutenants, two of them, used to take the rest of the party on the train. And then they used to walk from the station to wherever the campsite. Clacton, again, that was in between Clacton and a place called Holland-on-Sea. I think we must have went on a lorry again for that one during the war. Great Yarmouth. I think it was a coach, because it was getting near the end of the war there, and he used to hire a coach. Again, he got special concessions again.
Yes.
Taking a group of teenagers or youths on a holiday.
So how long would the camp last?
Oh, no more than a week. Mm. A week was long enough, because when we got back, our mothers used to say, right, all your clothes in that tub there, upstairs in the bath. Mind you, we used to go swimming in the sea, so we weren't that bad, really, you see.
Or very salty.
Sometimes there was a swimming pool on the site, in fact. We had to pay so much, or our parents had to pay, say, £1 or £2. That's all it was, you know, £1 or £2, you see. And we had a small amount of pocket money, maybe a shilling or two in pocket money, or maybe a bit more, I can't remember now. But most of the time, we didn't spend, say, Bognor Regis, like I said. We went to the cinema. I remember Great Yarmouth, we used to play on the beach a lot at Great Yarmouth, because it was a lovely flat sand there, and the campsite was just off of the beach. And that was very convenient. We used to come out of the campsite, over the green, over the road, into the sea. Oh, I think it was about sixpence a year or something like that.
Yeah.
Very, very, very small amount. Ventnor, are you like going on the Isle of Wight to Ventnor? In our uniform, we always had to travel in uniform to let people know who we were. Not as a rough school, something like that. We were organised.
Yeah.
And we always had to wear our uniform. On occasions like Remembrance Sunday, for example, We used to go in the cinema for the remembrance service. So we used to muster at the back of the council offices, walk round the corner, past running department, down Parkway, into the cinema. Mm. And I don't know why, but we always went in the balcony. And then someone used to go on the stage with the bugle and play the last post or whatever they used to do in those days. Mm. Another time, we went to, used to muster again outside the Peartree Public House, because they had a big car park there. And this was the Boy Brigade, the Girl Guides, Scouts, all youth organisations used to muster, because our church in those days, that's right, our church was in the Woodhall Lane. We used to muster there, or in the Peartree Pub, walk along Cole Green Road, up to the cenotaph, and we used to form all around that circle, all around that cenotaph there. Yeah. We used to form around there, then some would play the last post again. We used to walk, but that used to take about an hour. Mm. Always, say, 11, or rather 10 till 12, or 10 to 11, because 11 was always the time when they used to blow the bugle.
Yes.
At 3 minutes past, or 11 o'clock, they still do it now. The second Boy Brigade used to come over our side, and then for the other side, we used to go over their side, and say, always over the railway bridge. Because it wasn't a double railway bridge now, it was a single one.
Yeah.
A single, Hunter's Bridge, called Single Bridge. Mm. We used to have social evenings, their church or our church, not regular, but on occasions, like mostly in the summer. We used to have open days or field days, they used to call it, and a bit of rivalry between each other, you know, running and that sort of thing, and hoopla.